Our help is in the name of the Lord, who has made heaven and earth, who keepeth truth forever, and who never forsaketh the works of his own hands. Amen. Grace, mercy, and peace be unto you, from God the Father, and Christ Jesus our Lord, in communion with the Holy Ghost. Amen. Congregation, let us sing from Psalter 272, all the stanzas. Lord, hear my prayer, and let my cry have ready access unto thee. When in distress to thee I fly, O hide not thou thy face from me. 1 through 4 of Psalter 272.
Thank you. Scripture reading for this afternoon can be found in the first book of Peter and there of chapter 4. But first we read the 12 articles of our undoubted Catholic Christian faith. I believe in God the Father Almighty, maker of heaven and earth, and in Jesus Christ, his only begotten Son, our Lord, who was conceived by the Holy Ghost, born of the Virgin Mary, suffered under Pontius Pilate, was crucified, dead, and buried. He descended into hell. The third day he rose again from the dead. He ascended into heaven and sitteth at the right hand of God the Father Almighty. From thence he shall come to judge the quick and the dead. I believe in the Holy Ghost. I believe in Holy Catholic Church, the communion of saints, the forgiveness of sins, the resurrection of the body, and the life everlasting. Amen. 1 Peter 4. Forasmuch then as Christ hath suffered for us in the flesh, arm yourselves likewise with the same mind, for he that hath suffered in the flesh hath ceased from sin, that he no longer should live the rest of his time in the flesh to the lusts of men, but to the will of God. For the time past of our life may suffice us to have wrought the will of the Gentiles, when we walked in lasciviousness, lusts, excess of wine, revelings, banquetings, and abominable idolatries. Wherein they think it strange that ye run not with them to the same excess of riot, speaking evil of you. Who shall give account to him that is ready to judge the quick and the dead? For this cause was the gospel preached also to them that are dead, that they might be judged according to men in the flesh, but live according to God in the Spirit. But the end of all things is at hand. Be therefore sober, and watch unto prayer, and above all things have fervent charity among yourselves, for charity shall cover the multitude of sins. Use hospitality one to another without grudging. As every man hath received the gift, even so minister the same one to another as good stewards of the manifold grace of God. If any man speak, let him speak as the oracles of God. If any man minister, let him do it as of the ability which God giveth, that God in all things may be glorified through Jesus Christ, to whom be praise and dominion forever and ever. Amen. Beloved, think it not strange concerning the fiery trial which is to try you, as though some strange thing happened unto you. But rejoice, inasmuch as ye are partakers of Christ's sufferings, that, when his glory shall be revealed, ye may be glad also with exceeding joy. If ye be reproached for the name of Christ, happy are ye, for the Spirit of glory and of God resteth upon you. On their part he is evil spoken of, but on your part he is glorified. But let none of you suffer as a murderer, or as a thief, or as an evildoer, or as a busybody in other men's matters. Yet if any man suffer as a Christian, let him not be ashamed, but let him glorify God on this behalf. For the time is come that judgment must begin at the house of God. And if it first begin at us, what shall the end be of them that obey not the gospel of God? And if the righteous scarcely be saved, Where shall the ungodly and the sinner appear? Wherefore, let them that suffer according to the will of God commit the keeping of their souls to Him in well-doing as unto a faithful Creator. Thus far.
We hope to remember in prayer Mrs. Nell de Cock, who suffered a fall this morning. Let us try to pray and ask for the blessing and help of the Lord. Almighty and eternal God, we have sung together, Lord, hear my prayer, and let it have access unto Thee. Oh, that Thou wouldst hear us also in this hour, when we try to draw nigh to Thee, and Thou knowest the heart of each one and the life of each one of us, and how undeserving that we are of the least of all Thy notice or of Thy attention, and that Thou shouldst give to us a blessing who have turned our back to Thee, and who take so little notice of Thy holy word. Then it is right and it is just if Thou would shut out our prayer, and that Thou wouldst never hear us. But Thy word does speak of a free mercy that is without money and without price. And Thy word does speak of Thee, who art the first, who art the Alpha, which is our only hope, that Thou may look upon each and every one of us as we do travel upon life's pathway, closer and closer to our eternal home. For the end of all things is at hand, as we have heard in these moments out of Thy holy word. It is, Thou sayest, children, the last time, and it is the last dispensation before that Thou art coming again to judge the quick and the dead. And the signs, they are all about us. And because iniquity abounds, as we can read, it will abound in the last times. So that we and our children, if we do but open our eyes, can clearly see that we live in a world that is worse than Sodom and Gomorrah. O Lord, that Thou may remember our nation. Oh, that Thou may bring us back again to Thy word and to Thy testimonies. Oh, that Thou may look upon us, especially in this time wherein our government does consider to make it a legal thing to slay one another. Oh, Lord, then it cannot be but that we will bring Thy judgments upon us. And those judgments can be seen, indeed, if we will but see and recognize them as such. But, Lord, that Thou may remember us in Thy mercy. Give us open eyes. Give us understanding hearts. Oh, that we may not just go on then in the way wherein our heart desires, but that Thou may give us light out of Thy word, and that Thy word may be brought again into those chambers where that the laws are made, and that the fear of Thy name may be planted in the heart of our lawmakers and those that sit upon the judgment seat in our land, and that Thou Thyself may be the lawmaker, and that Thou may guide and protect us and spare us yet with our children in Thy mercy. And wilt Thou give us especially eyes to behold the times that we are living in, that we may see the clouds that are low and darkening, that we may understand that our time is short, that we may be given to feel the need to hasten for the sake of our life, because the end of all things is at hand. O Lord, that Thou may bind this upon the hearts of young and old, for we are so careless concerning the need of our soul upon our journey. But our journey that is so significant, because there is no coming back from it. Oh, then once that we have come unto its end, and then there is no opportunity to walk it over again. Oh, that Thou, by the power of Thy irresistible Spirit, may bless Thy Word in the midst of us, that there may be a hearkening to Thy Word, that that Spirit may cause the hearts to be born again, that we may receive life from the dead, that we may begin to love Thee, our Maker and our Creator. Oh, that our eyes may be going open to see our sin, that our hands may smite upon our breasts, and that our mouths may cry out, O God, be merciful to me, the sinner. O Lord, who is able to affect His own heart, then we can make ourselves to fear for these things, but we cannot give ourselves the fear of Thy name. Oh, we cannot give ourselves that true conversion. Lord, the wind bloweth where it listeth, and we hear the sound thereof, but cannot tell from whence it cometh or whither it goeth. So is every one that is born of the Spirit. Oh, that Thou wouldst do so in our midst. Wilt Thou hear us then from heaven, Thy dwelling place, that our prayer, that our cry may come up into the ears of Thee, O Lord of Sabaoth. Thou who sittest on the right hand of glory, Thou who hast all power given unto Thee in heaven and in earth, Thou who hast paid the price for the sin of Thy church. Oh, that Thou wouldst gather yet a multitude unto Thyself. Leave not us and our children behind, that we may be monuments of Thy grace and of Thy long-suffering, and that Thou Thyself would take all the honor and all the glory unto Thyself, that Thou may look upon all those who wait for Thee, even as we have heard it explained unto us in this morning hour. Then the time can be so long, that they say, I wait for God more than they that look for the morning. Yea, I say, more than they that watch for the morning. Oh, that they may receive also that blessed patience, as we have heard in this morning hour, to trust in Thee. Oh, that Thou wouldst make them to feel and to know, and that it will surely come, and that it will not tarry, that Thou canst not turn away from Thy own word of truth. Oh, that it may be for them such a great certainty, that they may be given so to rely and to rest and to wait upon Thee, that they may experience in the exercise of true saving faith, that peace that passes all understanding, and because God is not a man that He should lie, neither is He the Son of Man that He should repent. Hath He said it, and shall He not do it? Hath He spoken, and shall He not make it good? Oh, remember then the word that Thou hast spoken unto the soul of Thy children. Lord, that Thou may give more instruction in the way and in the truth and in the life. Oh, that the depths that are contained in that blessed mystery of Thy salvation may be opened more and more unto Thy children, that they may be given eyes to see it, that they may be given hearts to rejoice in it, that a little bit of that eternal glory may be tasted by moments more and more, and because then they shall more and more desire to be delivered from all this bondage here below, and that their souls may be set at liberty forever and forever. O Lord, we beseech Thee that Thou mayst so look upon young and old. Oh, then we do not know what a day may bring forth. And then the matter is such an urgent one, though we are so careless. We think that we shall live here forever. Oh, we call our houses after our own names. We are even so unwise that we are as the beasts that perish. Oh, give us that understanding. Give us life that breathes, that hungers, that thirsts, that cries. Do look upon all the needy, those that have become old, those that have difficulties and cares. Her that has fallen also in this morning. Lord, Thou knowest all her needs. Wilt Thou supply in this trial also? And wilt Thou remember her with her husband in the place where that she is? So much pain she has experienced in her lifetime. Oh, that she may feel the pain also in her heart. And that she is without God yet in this world. And that she may receive what is necessary before that she must go out of this life with her husband. Wilt Thou be with all those that have special needs, her that lays here in the care beds also? Wilt Thou be on her right and on her left? And wilt Thou help in all that must transpire? We do not know. Lord, wilt Thou care for all the needy? And because these cares are felt and experienced in the hearts and lives of so very many, young and old together, oh, that Thou may give Thy blessing also upon all the means that are used, but also upon the callings that do come in this way unto our poor, never-dying souls. Remember those that have lost their homes and their possessions in the great fire, O Lord, that Thou would supply for them. And do protect all of those that do still fight these fires. Wilt Thou watch over them in Thy mercy? And if it could please Thee, O Lord, Thou art able to put it out in one moment, and to open the windows of heaven and to pour out the moisture from the skies. O Lord, wilt Thou then arise and not deal with us as our many sins deserve? And wilt thou grant it also in the midst of us for the need of the farmers, the fields? Wilt Thou supply as Thou alone art able? Remember all those that have special needs. Remember those that hope to be united in this week in the bonds of holy matrimony. Lord, that Thou may supply for them together when they hope to make their vows before Thee and the congregation in this week. Wilt Thou prepare them therefore in their hearts? And wilt Thou give gladness unto them and their families together? And wilt Thou give us what we need also, that we may be enabled to perform the labors that are necessary? Do look upon us in this hour. Lord, strengthen us for the work of our hands. Oh, could it please Thee to fill us with the power of Thy Holy Spirit, by which alone men can be born again, and by which alone we can be instructed, and by which alone we can receive a blessing, that Thy Spirit may go from pew to pew and from heart to heart, and that we may say of this hour and of this day, truly, it was good to be here, for the Lord was in our midst. We ask it in the forgiveness of all of our manifold sins and transgressions. For the sake of thy only and thy only begotten and beloved Son, in whom thou art so well pleased, for Jesus' sake. Amen. While your offering is being received, we'll sing from Psalter 439, stanzas 1, 2, and 3. O Israel's God, how good thou art to all the true and pure of heart, though paths of saints are fraught with evil, thou showest favor to thy people. And what follows in the first, second, and third stanza, we make the following announcement. This is the second wedding announcement of Henry van Hagenbosch and Carrie Ann Nordegraaf, who hope to be married this coming Friday, May 13th at 12:45 p.m. here in the Fort McLeod Church. Lawful objections must be brought to the attention of the consistory by tomorrow, May the 9th. And the last collection today is for the Calgary loan repayment. beloved congregation, Paul wrote to the Ephesians, "Husbands, love your wives, even as Christ also loved his church and gave himself for it." Thus, he has given a very powerful example unto those husbands whom he admonishes to love their wives. We live in a world wherein there is much hatred and much envy. There is hurting, the slaying of one another. But by the common grace of God, then there are still remaining, even to this present time, as many tokens and expressions of love. We think, for example, that our world, our country at least, does commemorate Mother's Day, and that cannot be children on the Lord's Day. We hope that you understand this, because the Lord's Day, that is a special day, but it is still a good thing that sometime that we also do commemorate with tokens of love a Mother's Day. But there is now no deed that can be compared to that deed of Christ. When, as Paul says, that he gave himself for his church. Indeed, as the Lord Jesus has said himself, "A greater love hath no man than this, that a man should lay down his life for his friends." Greater love. And then expressed in that deed of giving of oneself. And then, especially, that love is to be seen when we see who that church is. Because Paul says, "For scarcely for a righteous man would one die, yet perhaps for a good man some would even dare to die. But God commendeth his love toward us, in that while we were yet sinners, Christ died for us." Thus, that love of God and that love of his Son is very greatly magnified in the experience of the wretchedness and the sinfulness of the heart of that people. We wish to consider something of this with you in this afternoon with the Lord's help out of Lord's Day 15, the first question there, question 37. Lord's Day 15, question 37. What dost thou understand by the words "he suffered"? Answer, that he, all the time that he lived on earth, but especially at the end of his life, sustained in body and soul the wrath of God against the sins of all mankind. And that so, by his passion as the only propitiatory sacrifice, he might redeem our body and soul from everlasting damnation and obtain for us the favor of God, righteousness, and eternal life. So far, our Lord's Day for this afternoon, which speaks about the suffering of Christ. First, of what his suffering consisted, that we see in the first half of that answer. And second, what his sufferings procured, or what they wrought, or what they obtained. We see that then in the second half of this answer. The suffering of Christ, first, of what his suffering consisted, and second, what his sufferings procured. What point is more central to the salvation of the Church of God than the sufferings of the Lord Jesus Christ. Thus we find those sufferings, they are spoken about from the very first part of the Bible unto the very last part of the Bible. But these sufferings have also been a stumbling block to many over the ages, from the beginning even until now, so that many have attempted to explain away the significance of the sufferings of Christ. There are those that say that the Father suffered. That is called the Patri Passions. The Father suffered. Is that possible, children? Last week, then, we mentioned to you that the Lord Jesus had to become a man. Why? In order that the Lord Jesus may suffer. Why? Because the divine nature is not able to suffer. So it is impossible that the Father has suffered. Then there are those that say the Lord Jesus, he suffered only in appearance. And so we can go on with different errors, wherein we see that Satan has always attempted to destroy the greatest comforts of that true church of God. But God will not permit it. Then John Bunyan tried to show what those sufferings meant for that church. And then we see a pilgrim receiving a sight of the cross of Christ and the effects which this has had in his soul. Then it is by that eye of faith that that burden of sin has fallen from his back. And thus the scriptures, they speak about the forgiveness of sins and the casting of those sins into that sea of everlasting forgetfulness. Wherein Bunyan, he speaks about that burden rolling down into that sepulcher so that that Christian has seen it no more. What a benefit to that church is faith which may behold that cross of Christ. That is, the sufferings of Christ. How much of that life of Christ was given to suffering. The remonstrance, that is, young people, that is that awful soul-destroying doctrine of the free will of man, they maintain that Christ suffered only in the end of his life. But it is a doctrine wherein the holiness of Christ is minimized, and that the very depth of the fall of man is denied. Our fathers speak of this according to the Word of God, as we read here, all the time that he lived on the earth, that is, from the cradle unto the grave. In the first place, the Father, God the Father, has required of Christ that he place himself under the law. But Christ was and is himself the lawgiver. Thus he is the ruler of the whole universe, and he has that right to command everyone in that universe But he has taken the place of one who was bound to obedience. And we know that there is a great difference between a servant and a lord. How ashamed ought God's church to be when they are so backward to submitting their necks under that easy yoke and under that light burden of Christ. When they may behold something of the sufferings and how that he has placed himself so willingly under that law. Of course, those sufferings, they have consisted in physical sufferings. That is, even since his birth, you know, boys and girls, that he was born in poverty in this world, was he not? You are not so poor, are you? I think not so poor as Mary and Joseph were. And we know that poverty, that is indeed suffering, because then many times the necessary things even in this life, well, we have to go without, we have to miss. And then indeed, he was also sometimes, like you are children, sick, so that he had to suffer pain. And we know that even when he was an infant already, he was persecuted. So that he had to flee into Egypt. All the days of his life, all the time that he was upon the earth from the cradle to the grave, that was not only a physical suffering, but then there was also a mental suffering, because he had also a mind just as you and I. But in his divine nature, he was also so aware of what was coming in the end of his life here below. So that there was an increase in his suffering because of the mental agony. We know that the Lord Jesus, he has suffered under the very temptations of the devil. That is so hard for us to comprehend. How that those temptations could have actually been unto him a temptation. But they were so because the things in themselves were lawful things, like to eat and to drink, or for Christ to reveal his power, his godly power unto men, or for Christ to receive all the goods of this world that may be to the furtherance of his kingdom here below, all lawful things. That is not the same as young people we hear today in much of the Christianity of our time, wherein men say we are going to redeem the world for Christ, so that we are going to have a Christian baseball game, and we are going to pray before that we bowl or whatever that is. No, that is to take that which is carnal and earthly, as if that is now for the service of Christ. But it is so different for Christ himself to desire that this entire world would be in a right and in a spiritual way, as it will be one day, when there is a new heavens and a new earth, and when everything will serve the Lord. Thus the temptations, The temptations were part of that suffering and that agony of Christ. We know that he has endured the hatred and the scorn of this world. We know that he was called a child of the devil. He was called a wine bibber. He was called a gluttonous man. He was ridiculed as a friend of publicans and sinners. But now there is even more. And it also becomes so much worse because the physical things and even the mental things, they are not the worst. But it is actually the soul suffering of Christ even from the beginning of his life unto the end. Because where did he dwell? Well, he dwelt in the midst of a wicked and a perverse generation. But sin and iniquity that was hated of his soul. Maybe you have to work, young people, in a place where men are outwardly wicked and ungodly, that you have to live, that you have to work, where the name of the Lord is used in vain, where all kinds of evil things are spoken of just as if that they are good and right, because the morality of this world that is turned upside down. Does that grieve you, or can you go along with it? Or every day, is that then a burden to you because you feel the evil of it? Oh, how can we fathom what that was for the Lord Jesus to live in this world, wherein sin by his fellow men was committed inside and outside, and was accepted as that which is good and which is right? Then we cannot overestimate how difficult and how grievous that it was for the soul of Christ to live for those 33 years in this world. The institutions of his father is holy, and he has seen and experienced how those institutions were abused. So that the commandments of God, they were made of none effect by the traditions of men. So that the Lord Jesus, with grief in his soul, had to come into that temple and make a scourge of small cords and drive out the buyers and the sellers who were making merchandise in his Father's house of prayer. All these things, oh, that holy anger to have to live within him, and that is a part of that suffering of Christ. Because he himself was holy, harmless, undefiled, and separate from sinners. Oh, just think that he lived with a father and a mother, not the Holy Virgin Mary children, no. But Mary herself had to be rebuked later on by the Lord Jesus. Thus he lived in love to his mother and father Joseph here below for the time. But they also had all of their infirmities. How grievous was that to him? When his own disciple Peter, he has to admonish, even as Satan himself, "Get thee behind me, Satan." Oh, the ignorance, the lack of faith, the lack of understanding, even in his own people. A man of sorrows, a man acquainted with grief. There is not the least misery in this world that is not flowing from the cause of sin, that is not flowing from that fountain. And now the Lord Jesus had to experience all the effects, all the consequences of sin. And with every consequence of sin, when we get sick children, then we do not think so much, do we? And when we are weak, and then we do not think where that comes from, and that it comes from sin, that is the cause. But now the Lord Jesus, every time that he had to experience something of the consequences of sin, as he walked through this world for those years, then every time again, then this there was so much awareness of the cause of this in his soul, so that he carried with him the burden of the evil of sin in his soul, even from the first unto the last, that he all the time that he lived on earth, but especially at the end of his life, sustained in body and soul the wrath of God against the sins of all mankind, but especially at the end of his life, then we cannot deny that the end of his life, that these sufferings, they have increased unto a climax. Why? Because that price had to be paid. And what is that payment? That had to be death itself. The wages of sin is death. And unto this he went forward. We read that he set his face steadfastly toward Jerusalem. Then he went forward in this in such a willing way to lay his neck under that yoke of his father, even as a sheep before her shearers is dumb. And so we see him coming closer and closer unto that climax. There we see him in Gethsemane. There we read his sweat that is becoming as great drops of blood. And there that divine nature that is contributing so heavily unto the sufferings that are in his human nature. So that his human nature that is weighed down with the dark forebodings of what is now approaching unto him, feeling something of that wrath of God that is to be poured out upon the sin, upon himself for the sins of his church, and then going closer and closer unto that cross itself, so that we see him and we hear him even in the climax of that suffering, crying out under it, my God, why hast thou forsaken me? Oh, that is, we would say, the epitome. That is now the greatest part of the suffering of Christ. What is it? Forsaken. Forsaken. Were you ever forsaken? It is an awful thing to be forsaken. And now Christ here, he cries out about being forsaken of God himself. To miss the favor of God, to miss the presence of God, is actually the greatest suffering that a person can suffer in his whole life. That was now the greatest punishment that Adam can receive, that is to be shut out from that felt favor and that presence of God. Do you ever feel this? Moses felt this when he had to take the children of Israel through the wilderness. And when the trials, they were increasing. And then Moses prayed unto the Lord. And he said, if thy presence go not up with us, then carry us not up hence. Or if it is thy presence that may go with us, then every trial and every suffering, then we shall be able to endure. But who is now able to endure what that is to be without God? And now Christ, how was that for Him? Oh, that was so much more for Him than that can ever be for us. And why is that so? Because Christ, He declared Himself, I and my Father are one. They are one. It is a triune God, but that is not three gods. No, that is one God. One God that is united in a perfect bond of unity that can never be separated. All bound together in every way. And now He cries out, my God, why hast Thou forsaken Me? Oh, it is just as if. It is as if that Trinity itself is rent asunder. Is that possible? No. That is not in actuality. That cannot be. But it is in the way of His feelings. It is in the way of His suffering that He has to miss that felt favor of God. His Father, that there is not a friendly face toward Him by His Father, but that He has, as it were, turned His back unto Him, and that He experiences not His favor, but He experiences the wrath of His Father against the sins of His entire church. Oh, that separation, that was actually the greatest part of that suffering of Christ. That is a suffering greater than when our soul shall be separated from our body in death, which we fear so much. Those two most intimate friends, they were brought together in our creation. They shall be rent asunder, not according to our desires, no, but according to the just judgment of God in our death. And there is no discharge in that war, but man fights even unto the end, that he may keep that blessed soul in his body. Oh, he fears that rendering, that awful separation. Oh, so much more did Christ suffer under that agonizing separation from that fell presence of His Father. And now all this, He has suffered alone. I have trodden the winepress alone, and of the people there was none with Me. Not only felt that separation from His Father, but we read all His friends, all His disciples, they forsook Him and they fled. And why did they flee? Say, because they were afraid. Sure. But there is more reason. They fled because they were offended. Christ had prophesied of that night. He said, all ye shall be offended in Me this night. Offense they have taken. And what was that offense? Did they love Him? Sure they loved Him. That did not cease. And they wanted to defend Him. But He would not let them. And finally, they said, well, as it were, we have done what we could. And what can we now do more? And now He is going to have to, well, He is going to have to endure that for Himself. Because He will not let us take out that sword. And so, He said also concerning His disciples, if ye seek me, then let these go their way. And he went forward, treading at that wine press alone all the time and that he lived on the earth, but especially at the end of his life. Let us sing 47, 1, 6, 8, and 9. My God, I cry to thee. O, why hast thou forsaken me? Afar from me thou dost not heed, though day and night for help I plead. 1, 6, 8, and 9 of Psalter 47.
Thank you.
What dost thou understand by the words he suffered? That he, all the time that he lived on earth, but especially at the end of his life, sustained in body and soul the wrath of God against the sins of all mankind. That so, by his passion, as the only propitiatory sacrifice, he might redeem our body and soul from everlasting damnation and obtain for us the favor of God, righteousness, and eternal life. Thus, the sufferings of Christ, they also wrought something. They procured something. They, as our fathers say, they obtained something. And what is that? That is redemption from damnation. What is damnation? In damnation, there will be suffering. Suffering and the favor of God, righteousness, and eternal life. What is Bill C-14 about? It is about suffering. How much suffering is in this world? We go into one home, and there we'll see children crying. And we go into another home and we will see a young person's crying. And in another home, and then we will see fathers and mothers. They are bathed in tears because this world that is a valley of tears, that is the entire man. So much suffering. There is pain. And there is sickness, there is much physical suffering, but there is also much mental suffering, much anxiety, much depression, and so on. In the hospital we see especially so much suffering. But Reverend Lemaine, when he was one time in the hospital, and then he was in the hospital in the elevator, I think I told you this before, and then he asked those in that elevator, he said, "What is now the cause of all that suffering?" And one said one thing, and one said something else. And he said, "Sin." Thus, sin, that is now the cause of all that suffering. Of course, we know, and that suffering that can have second causes, but sin, and that is now the first cause of all that suffering. And we know that suffering that does not go away until that we take away the cause. So the doctors, boys and girls, they are always looking for the cause. Why are you sick? Why do you have pain? And we will see if we can take away the cause of your sufferings. And sometimes that is possible. They can take away the second causes of our sufferings. And then they can help us much in that suffering. But now, as long as that first cause, as long as sin remains, then also the consequence of sin that remains. And ending our life, taking away our life, that is not going to take away the sufferings. No, when we end our own life, then we will only increase our sufferings. Because then we will be cast out, we read, into outer darkness, where there shall be weeping and gnashing of teeth. But now, if we may only take away that first cause, or if we may only take away sin, because if that first cause could now be removed, well, then also all of that suffering that will come to an end. That is what John writes about. He says, God shall wipe away all tears from their eyes, and there shall be no more death, and no more sorrow, and no more crying, neither shall there be any more pain, for all those former things are passed away. That is, the cause of that suffering removed, and then all that suffering itself that is removed with it. Whose work is that? To take away the cause. That is not the work of an earthly physician. No, that is the work of the great. That is the work of the heavenly physician. How did he do that? Well, he did that in a way that no earthly physician and does take away the second causes. All that is, as we have been considering together in this hour, in those two words of our confession, he suffered. That is, he took upon himself the consequences. He suffered. He suffered as a sacrifice, and so he has removed the cause of suffering for his children. And so we read our fathers say that so by his passion, as the only propitiatory sacrifice, he might redeem our body and soul from everlasting damnation and obtain for us the favor of God, righteousness, and eternal life. Why then do God's people still have to suffer in this world? Well, we read that together here out of the Apostle Peter. He says, for as much then as Christ hath suffered for us in the flesh, arm yourselves likewise with the same mind, for he that hath suffered in the flesh hath ceased from sin, that he no longer should live the rest of his time in the flesh to the lusts of men, but to the will of God. That is the necessity of the suffering of God's church here below. That is, that they may cease from sin. Do you have a desire, people of the Lord, to cease from sin? You say that I could cease from sin, but we then do not invite suffering, do we? But Peter says this is now the manner wherein the Lord, he will make his people to cease from sin, because if we have everything so like we would like to have it in this world, then we live out our heart's desire. But now if the Lord restrains us in whatever way and that suffering may be, and then the Lord, he keeps us, and then he holds in the reins, as it were. That is one of the greatest privileges of the true church of God. Because Paul says to be without chastisement, that means that we are bastards and not sons. Oh, not that we should ask congregation for afflictions from the Lord, no, but for that church who is not able to throw off those afflictions from the hand of the Lord, then there is therein a great comfort. And they can see it also in their own life, what Peter says, because the heart, their own heart, is not strange to them. If it is well, our greatest sufferings, they are the sufferings of our soul. Then they come over all the sufferings that we have to suffer in our bodies. That is not temporal, But those are spiritual things. Just read Job. Because Job, he had to suffer so much also under the hand of the Lord. And then what do we read? It were the desires of Job. Oh, then he is asking for the presence of the Almighty. Oh, he says that the Lord would light my candle, that the secret of the Lord would be upon my tabernacle. Oh, that I knew where I might find him, that I might be able to come before his seat, that I might have a place at his footstool, because and through all the afflictions of this life, oh, if we may have, but that presence and that nearness of the Lord to be feelingly and believingly experienced in our life, then all those sufferings, then they are nothing in comparison to what may be enjoyed by that people. And it is now from this affliction, that is the separation from his presence and the missing of him, that people, they will be soon completely delivered. Oh, they are delivered by moments already, sometimes here below, when the Lord may give to them an eye of faith, that may behold something of those sufferings of that blessed mediator, and with appropriation for their own soul. Oh, those are moments they would not exchange for all the pleasures of this world, wherein they may experience that the Lord, he takes away the distance, that the Lord, he fills the gap, and that the Lord, he takes down the mountains so that there is nothing between God and my soul. Oh, when something of that priestly work of Christ may be by faith received in the soul of that people, and then that sacrifice, and that is taking away all the sin, and so the cause of that separation is taken away, and then already by moments, they may enjoy a little bit of that felt favor and that felt presence of the God of heaven and of earth. And then John, he says that he heard a voice from heaven as saying, "Behold, the tabernacle of God is with men." The tabernacle of God, he says, "and he will dwell with them, and they shall be his people, and God himself shall be with them, his presence, and shall be their God." Or is that now living as a desire in our heart? Is that now the suffering of our soul as we go through this world? Oh, do we ever feel anything of what Paul speaks about when he says that they had no hope and that they were without God in this world? Because this presence, this blessedness, that is not for everyone, that is assumed by so many and assumed so often by those who would take their own life to try to get out of suffering, misery. Then it is heard so often in so many funerals, as if everyone in the whole world did depart out of this world and did go into the presence of God, no matter what that their life was here below. But it is now for those who have learned the cause of their suffering. Oh, did the evil of sin ever make you to grieve? Did you ever shed one tear because you had sinned against a holy, a righteous, and a good-doing God? Oh, it is for those whose greatest sufferings in this world are as the greatest sufferings of Christ when he cried out, my God, why hast thou forsaken me?" Oh, it is for those who may by faith receive a blessed view and experience something of that blessed relief, a view of that cross, of the sufferings of that blessed Son of God. Oh, that does not mean that they will always be able to be reconciled to all their afflictions while they are here in the world. No, we read of Job that he cursed the day of his birth, but the Lord did not leave him over to himself, that he would curse God and die, and that he would take his own life, that he may rid himself of those sufferings. No, young people, that is from hell. And so we go to hell because then we die in our sin, and then there is no place of repentance for that people. Oh, when you would ever have such thoughts to take your own life, oh, then be sure that you do not remain alone in this world, but to seek out those whom you love and who love you, because the devil, he will make it in our society now to be a norm, as if it is a normal thing that men would take their own life and that others would help them to do it. Oh God, remember our nation. What shall we receive good at the hand of the Lord, and shall we not receive evil? Paul, he says, I reckon that the sufferings of this present time, they are not to be compared with that glory that is to be revealed in us. Oh, that is now the patience that the Lord is giving unto his church. That is now the patience of his saints. Oh, we have heard of that in this morning hour. Then that people, they may wait. Oh, they may wait for that time of the Lord. Oh, and may it be a waiting on a good and on a solid foundation. And so they will never be ashamed. Seek it, congregation. Seek it, because the time is short. Amen. O Lord of heaven and of earth, wilt thou bless thy own word? There is so much suffering, but thou knowest what that suffering shall be for each and every one of us if that cause of sin is not taken away in our life. Oh, that we might learn to hasten for the sake of our life, because that message is still preached unto us, as we have heard also in this morning. I am the way, and the truth, and the life. No man cometh unto the Father but by me. Oh, open that unto those who can see no way anymore. Reveal thyself, O Lord. Deliver us from all our sins. Bring us safely to our places. Be with us in the week to come. Keep us from a sudden and an unprepared death. Keep us from sinning against thee and from one another. And give thy word place in heart and life, for Jesus' sake. Amen. Our closing psalter is number 310, stanzas 4, 5, and 6. Return unto thy rest, my soul. The Lord has richly dealt with thee, delivered thee from death's control, from sin and sorrow set thee free. 4, 5, and 6 of Psalter 310. Receive the blessing of the Lord and go in peace. The Lord bless thee and keep thee. The Lord make his face shine upon thee and be gracious unto thee. The Lord lift up his countenance upon thee and give thee peace. Amen.